I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
How y'all doing out there? It's KETR's Locker Room. I'm your host, Jordan Davis, and I'm here with Taylor Phillips and Cooper Wilkes. And today is August 6, 2013, and we do have a lot to talk about today. We start off the conversation with the infamous Riley Cooper, who was caught on camera using a racial slur while trying to gain access backstage at a Kenny Chesney concert, and it went viral and got on ESPN and very quickly became the topic of the day. So jumping right into it, guys, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I mean, he apologized for it, but he was excused from team activities and is seeking counseling for a racial slur. So, I mean, I don't know.
We're kind of late in the discussion of this topic, but we are. I mean, there's breaking news on it still today that apparently Cooper's going to be with the team in the preseason game. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what day it is. This, you know, probably
Sunday.
But for him to be back with the team already, I think it's a little bit of a shock to everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
I mean, I just don't understand. Like, at first they was making a big deal out of it, and you know, the team said they was going to punch him again. And then he apologized, and to me, the apology, I mean, I could tell he was sorry, but at the same time, you know, all the other players had their input. Mm. But for him to be back so quickly, it's like, what kind of training did you go to?
Well, you know, to me, the whole thing, when I first heard about it, I didn't feel that concerned about it. I was like, you know, it's something that's said every day. It's a commercialized word, really, today in today's society. Though it shouldn't be, because of what it really stands for, through rap music and through the locker room, we've commercialized it. Yeah. And that's a big issue with the word. Me as a white man would feel that way, even though I shouldn't say that word. I know I shouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. I just see Riley Cooper as interpreting it differently. And, I mean, really the best person to talk about this is Jordan, because he's an African-American male. And, and to know how he feels about it is really what matters.
Yeah, I mean, we're so late on this because all the stuff that happened on Friday, trying to get Coach Brewster on. Yeah. We were going to talk about it then, and we had Big Chris in here to talk about it too. But
I mean, me and Big Chris had talked about it when it happened, because before it even got to ESPN, me and Big Chris was on a website called WorldStar.
Yeah.
WorldStar Hip Hop, and we had just scrolled and it said that, and I was like, what? I said, I know Riley Cooper. Played for the Eagles. And then when I heard it, I was, oh man, this is... How old is this? That's the first thing I said. I was like, how old is this? Yeah. And he was like, it's brand new. Like, it was just put on there. And I said, I guarantee you ESPN is already talking about it. We turned it to ESPN, and boom. It was like, Riley Cooper, and a lot of my friends are African-American, and we sit back, and we know about the word. You know, the word comes from a very long history. But and the people I hang around, we really don't take that in consideration. Like, okay, he's a bad person because he said the word. Because, like you said, everybody... Yeah. I mean, people of all different races use it in some kind of way, form, or fashion. It's just, you know, since he was white, happened to make, you know, mainstream. But me personally, like, even Big Chris would tell you, like, I mean, he shouldn't have said it. I wish he would have took it back. But I know what he was meaning with it. Like, he wasn't meaning it in no harsh way. But still, I honestly don't believe you should use the word at all. If you don't know the history of it and you're just saying it because it's a popular fad at the time, I mean, honestly.
And I still speculate that there was some alcohol.
Oh, lots of alcohol.
He said he was drinking.
Behind it. And I think that he had just slipped.
Yeah.
And it looked worse because he used the ER ending instead of the A ending.
Yeah.
But I don't think Riley Cooper's a racist.
No.
This guy has played
the Eagles are 72% black.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia.
He's in Philadelphia. He can't be racist.
Yeah, this guy has played with black players his entire life.
He played at Florida with Aaron Hernandez and other black players.
I mean, so to think that he's a racist, I don't really see where that's coming from.
I think they just blew that up because of how he said it.
And it's so funny that we're making a big deal about him now. But Ty Cobb, who's in the MLB Hall of Fame, was like a renowned racist. Like, everybody knew he was racist. And he's in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, Pete Rose isn't because he bet on the game.
Well, one thing we have to realize, too, is this is Riley Cooper.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
isn't Tom Brady.
A Hall of Fame player.
I guarantee you, if Tom Brady had the same exact scenario happen to him, there's a slap on the wrist, and let's continue on. Nobody's going to get rid of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't see him being at a Kenny Chesney concert, honestly. But
No, to be honest, he wouldn't be at a Kenny Chesney concert.
And he wouldn't be drunk there.
No.
But let's just say this happened with somebody like Johnny Manziel. Like, if he was in the NFL, somebody who could very well, from his past and his history, we know this is a type of thing he would do. Not saying that he's a racist either or anything like that. No. Just saying he would do something out of the ordinary,
something
out of the box.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the same thing would happen to him. There wouldn't be that much, you know, scrutiny just because he's Johnny Manziel. So you got to look at who the person is.
Right.
But as far as the word in general, there's a double standard there, of course. There's a double standard with many words that you can call, that people can use, that other people can. And even though it's dependent on race, we shouldn't get worked up about it. I have no desire to say that word at all.
Me either.
So for people to make a big deal out of it and say, well, everyone should be able to say it, it's because it's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Why worry about it?
Yeah.
It's not going to stop people from using the word.
Yeah, I mean.
Especially athletes that's getting paid millions of dollars. They're going to say whatever they really want to say.
I mean, you really gain nothing from using the word. So people that are, that's not fair. That's not fair. Well, some things aren't fair.
Yeah, that's life. Life is not fair.
Exactly. And a lot of people saying the league isn't fair because they're not punishing him. Roger Goodell said he's going to let the Eagles handle it. You know, they fined him a excessive amount of money, but they never clarified how much they actually fined him.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people's bringing up Kobe Bryant's gay slur that he said on the sideline in a game I was actually watching where he had called the ref gay or something.
He said the gay slur, we can't say it.
But we'll let you figure it out or whatever.
People saying he should have got punished like Kobe. Do you think they have a point?
I mean, Kobe's more profiled, and that was in an actual game. So it's hard to find. I mean, they can, but it's less justifiable that it wasn't in the field of play, which you're never going to catch a football guy doing that anyway because he had a helmet on. But of course, to say that Riley Cooper did nothing against the law.
Let's
straighten that up real
fast.
Well,
neither did Kobe.
And Kobe didn't either, but Kobe did it in the arena that he makes money for. So that's totally different. He did it at work. Riley Cooper did not do anything at work. He did nothing against the law and nothing at work. He did something that people don't like. But for people like Michael Vick to say that I don't think I can forgive him, forgave the whole reason you're in the NFL is people forgave you. You slaughtered dogs.
Yeah, and he backed off those comments. He did say that he's forgiven him now.
Well, you better.
Who is Michael Vick to talk? Much trouble you mean.
Riley Cooper said one word: you committed a felony.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
If it wasn't, you know, nowadays with cameras on every phone, we probably wouldn't even heard about this. I mean,
no.
It's not like the guards would have said, oh, man, this guy was calling me the N-word.
Like you said, Ty Cobb. I mean, these are athletes back then who could do whatever they wanted because they were not followed.
Yeah.
The games weren't even on TV. They were taped delayed.
Imagine if Babe Ruth had a Twitter account. How pissed off we'd be at him.
I'm not.
Oh, yeah, it'd be the same way. And I think that athletes don't trust fans like they used to.
Would you?
I think media used to be the untrusted ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can trust media now to tell the truth more than you can fans.
Unless it's ESPN.
Yeah,
you can't lie to
ESPN.
ESPN's
you can trust KATR's locker room, though.
Come talk to us. We'll accept anybody.
Yeah, we're free willing. Well, they said the racial slur used by Riley is rumored to be casually tossed around NFL locker rooms by teammates of all color. You know, not just the locker room, but like you said, Taylor and hip-hop music and music in general, and people that even go to school say it
it's
out loud.
It's thrown around.
You think it's time for the word to go away altogether?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at the word, I think it's to be honest, and I can't make this claim because I'm not African American, but I think it's an insult to, you know, what people went through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is a terrible word and a terrible, it speaks to our history of our country terribly.
Yep.
I understand why African Americans use it. I understand that it's, you know, it's a positive spin on something.
A repurposing.
Repurposing. It's taking what you used and throwing it back at you. You know, we're going to take something that's negative to you, and we're going to make it positive to us.
Yeah, so same as gay nowadays.
Yeah, it's, exactly. It's
not like that, yes.
And that's why I think, but successful people that are African-American, like Oprah Winfrey and Forrest Whitaker, people that have said that that word should never be used. I think Bill Cosby's even been quoted saying that.
Oh, yeah, a lot
these
of
are
times.
Very successful people who want success for their race. And I think if you ask Dr. King, too, I think if you ask Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he would say the same thing. And things that people like that fought for, I think that that's... and we're talking totally morals now instead of sports.
Yeah.
But still, I'm thinking even in the locker room, I'm thinking that that would be frowned upon by those successful people.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta think about it this way. If there's words you wouldn't say in front of your mama or in church or something like that, they shouldn't be said at all. There shouldn't be areas where certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't. I think that's what's wrong with our world nowadays, and this is really going down in moral territory, but that we split our lives into different areas. Things are okay here, but not okay here. Let's just say things aren't okay and just be done with them.
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, we can go into all kinds of details of sports and narrowing different things that are done in sports. But, yeah, it's tossed around the locker room. But these guys wouldn't do it in a contract meeting.
No, this is totally
locker room, you know, guy talk, man cave.
Yeah.
Let's say whatever we feel.
Putting up cameras in locker rooms now. That's the NFL policy. So they can't even do it in locker rooms.
It's a lot of things that's going to go in the locker room now because now the commissioner can watch and be like, oh, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And then the coaching staff can get in trouble because, you know, the coaching staff, those grown men, like they can pay millions of dollars. Yeah. What, as a coach, what can I tell them to do in their locker room? Like that's their personal space. Now that's going to have them involved and, it just wasn't a good idea for Riley Cooper to say that, especially when there was cameras and other devices around.
I mean, it wasn't a smart decision by any means. Whether he comes back and it's all fine, it was still a dumb decision.
I think what's going to happen is he's going to get one really ridiculous hit from somebody.
Oh, you know it's coming.
In the NFL, and then it's over.
Yeah,
it's
because he's a receiver, so he was probably going to get hit anyway, but there's going to be a little extra.
Yeah, especially by the safeties.
Mm.
Well, moving on to another man that has made news a lot this summer. Johnny Football is currently under investigation again for allegedly autographing items and then accepting payment for it. Do you think he did it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I can't be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't be, because I would definitely say that he probably did it. I mean, put yourself in Johnny's shoes. This guy is a guy who's bringing millions of dollars to A&M, millions of dollars to his brand, and he doesn't see a cent of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody approaches you and says, I'll pay you five figures.
Well, I mean, he gets, you know,
he gets a stipend.
Free room, he gets food a lot.
I mean, but this is a guy who's...
But Johnny Manziel already had money. I saw that on SportsCenter. He already had money. So
But one thing is, this is money that Johnny has money, but his dad has money. So this is really
daddy's money.
Yeah, I mean,
and this is privately. Like, this isn't even the school doing this. This is autographs that people ask him for.
Yeah.
So it's not anything to do with the school.
This is different than... But your daddy's money is different than your money. You got to know that borderline too. When I get my paycheck, I can do whatever I want with that paycheck.
Yeah.
But if my dad gives me $500,
you know,
and
you
says this is to live on,
to get,
and I say I went out and bought a new pair of Kobe's shoes,
wow,
he's gonna be like, you know, you just wasted my money. Like, you know, spend your money more wisely. And Johnny's dad has even said that he's probably going to get in trouble. So when your dad starts telling ESPN that you're worried about your kid, then there's probably going to be some issues.
That was ridiculous. I can't believe that his parents went on
ESPN. Told him about underage drinking.
Yeah.
Like, the boy is already under the spotlight, and you just added more fuel to the fire by saying he has a drinking problem.
That your own parents are going on ESPN and talking bad about you.
Out of all the places, not church.
I think Johnny Manziel, to me, is down a path that is not going to end well.
If he keeps going down this, I don't see him going to the NFL.
I feel like he's the next Lindsay Lohan right now.
I mean, feels like the...
Don't say that.
The freaking Justin Bieber of sports. Like, this is a guy who's followed so well, has so many followers on Twitter, is always has a camera in his face, and he's not Tim Tebow.
No.
So he's going to make tons of mistakes.
But look at Tim Tebow and compare him to Johnny Football. Johnny Football is a young... a freshman. He made history. I don't think it hit Johnny yet.
He's a phenom. Like this guy is
You're a wonder.
Yeah.
You're the only freshman to do it. So I mean when he won the award, like the first thing I said was, I pray that he just don't crash. And I mean, right now I think Johnny's at the point he was like, oh my God, when does football season start?
Yeah. I think everybody's saying that.
Yes. Especially his coach.
I mean, but we talk about money. Like, you're talking about how he's not really – I'm talking about how he's not really capitalizing off of how much money he can make.
Yeah.
Like, a helmet signed by him and John David Crow, the other A&M Heisman winner, went for 80 grand.
Six of them did.
Six of them went
for 80
grand.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Like, that's – when we were talking about that earlier, that's, like, ridiculous amounts of money. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody approaches you and says, I'll pay you five figures for your autographs – I mean, that's hard to pass up, especially when you're like, how are they going to catch that?
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to catch me taking money for autographs?
I think the most ridiculous thing is ESPN doesn't actually have any proof that he has accepted money. They have all sorts of pictures of him signing crap, but big deal. You're allowed to sign autographs.
You can sign whatever you want.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I think we should talk about, should athletes even be getting in trouble for this? Like, this is completely separate from the school. This isn't raising money for the school at all.
And it's really not using your athletic ability.
No, it's
capitalizing off of it, but you're famous.
Yeah.
Any other college kid could do this.
Yeah.
So why can't, you know, Johnny Football, first of all, it's not going to hurt the game because it's not like you're going to be big athletes are going to choose this over going.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to make enough salary as he would in the NFL.
Yeah.
He can make multi-millions of dollars. He's not going to make millions of dollars off his signature. But he can make, you know,
a good
80 grand off his signature.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you start looking at somebody, well, he's making more than anybody in my family.
And he has 2,000 verified signatures out there. The fact that he did most of those for free is ridiculous because all that is making money.
And check this out. The table, along with those six helmets that he signed with John David Crow, they signed a table at would be a sitting for the A&M kickoff dinner, sold for 20 grand, and all the money went to the school.
Yep.
The school capitalizes off him so much.
Why can
he not get paid a little bit more? I mean, just to get autograph money,
yeah,
that's barely anything.
Like, I personally don't think that athletes should get paid a whole bunch from their school. I mean, I'm okay with a stipend.
Yeah.
But allowing them to make money off of themselves separate from the school is a great idea. I think every athlete should be able to do that. I think, like, if I went out there right now, someone wanted to pay me for my autograph, I could do it because I'm not an athlete.
Yeah.
It's completely okay for me to do that.
Well, look at Cloudy from South Carolina. Look at all the craziness he's been going through.
Crazy.
Okay, so when we talk about that, what about like contracts with sports suppliers, like, or Nike or Adidas?
Yeah, I think that should be perfectly fine.
But then you mess with school contracts. I mean,
I think it should be
A&M has an Adidas deal.
Yeah,
they're sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah.
But can Johnny Manziel wear Nike shoes? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
That's a good question.
You're talking contract differences there.
You can figure it out, though, because, I mean, you see Tony Romo wearing starter crap all the time.
Oh, God. He's the richest. I don't understand.
But there's been a lot of different legislation in place to allow that, and that took a long time. And Michael Jordan, for a time, was fined every game he wore Nike shoes until, you know, things got cleared up. This would be a breakthrough. This would be the first time this has ever happened to a college athlete.
I think it's something that needs to happen. I think maybe they shouldn't be paid by the schools because schools are running in the red for athletic programs anyway. Most of them are. But I think all athletes
can be paid by outside sources.
Yeah, I think all athletes deserve that.
And I think the problem they're getting into is recruiting. Like, if you come here,
you've got a
better
chance.
Have a better chance of getting your autograph signed. Yeah. You'll have a better chance.
But
of
the same thing's
going
to happen if schools can pay their athletes. They're going to say, we can pay you more because our teams are making more.
Is better.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. People like especially the players in the SEC, every Saturday, no matter what their record are in conference, those stadiums are packed.
Oh, yeah. Like, Mississippi State is packed every game.
Ole Miss. They're game, and they're like
Vanderbilt. Yeah.
I mean, these athletes are coming in the SEC, and you already know they're NFL ready. Mm. Most of these people will be playing on Sundays.
I mean, for the most part, I agree with you as far as them getting paid, especially for their signature, because there's not going to be that many people that capitalize off that.
Yeah.
You're going to have Johnny Manziel. you know, Jadeveon Clowney. But after that,
it's like,
I can't think of anybody I would pay any. I wouldn't even pay Johnny Manziel for his signature.
No.
I wouldn't buy that signature.
Maybe Clowney, because Clowney is a grown man.
I mean, I just wouldn't pay for a grown man's signature. I got my own signature.
That man there is. I haven't seen nobody play like him.
But as far as, like, there's not only going to be, like, a handful of guys that even capitalize off that rule anyway. I think the problem the NCAA sees is that, well, we have to standardize it. Why should other people be able to make money and everybody else not?
Yeah.
And that's why they want to do stipends, because then they can say every school in the, you know, the FBC or the BCS will be able to will be able to pay their players this X amount of dollars. Yeah. Each player this X
but
amount
of dollars. But is that going to be across the board? Like, are swimming athletes going to get paid the same stipend?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only problem they said on outside the lines. Mm. I was watching. If you pay especially football players,
yeah,
then baseball players are going to be like, what about us? Basketball players, especially basketball players, yeah, it's like, hey,
track athletes,
one and done here.
Because, yeah, you have a lot of different sports, and swimming is bringing in no money, and we're not just picking on swimming. There's a numerous other sports that are included in that that don't make anything.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they'd want money too, but the problem is they don't make any money either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Title IX stuff. Everything's got to be fair.
Yeah.
Women's sports do not make as much as men's sports. That's a fact. That's not an opinion of mine.
Yeah.
But you got to offer the same amount of scholarships to boys and girls.
And I think that's the only fair way to do it. Everyone should get the same stipend.
Yeah.
But then the schools are going to, you know, really be running in the red.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to face a lot of... This will probably lead into them facing a lot of different...
This is the big...
You know, ideas.
The big question, I think, for this generation of sports. What do we do now? How do we figure out how to get athletes what they deserve?
Yeah, because the way athletes are being produced, like...
Because now it seems like a college education is not enough.
Oh,
I mean, now it seems like... With social networking, and now you can watch these guys like celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not enough because you don't live a normal life like you might have used to if you went to Texas. You might have just been a student and you were on the football team, but everybody
may have been on one magazine, but big whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo.
Exactly. Until you made it to the NFL, you weren't really going to make any money off yourself. Now the opportunity's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's a situation that is going to have a lot more, but we're going to take a break real quick, and coming back, we have Rangers talk, and then we also have the NFL about the first Cowboy preseason game. So stick with us here on KETR Locker Room.
Let me ask you, how long have you been thinking about getting rid of that old car or truck you've got cluttering up your space? If you thought it was just too much trouble or just not worth your time, you might be interested to know that your unwanted car, truck, or boat can help KETR provide quality programming for Northeast Texas. Call 855-KETR-123 today for details, or mouse over support at KETR.org.
We are back here on KETR. I'm your host, Jordan Davis, here with Taylor Phipps and Cooper Welch. We got through talking about the Riley Cooper situation. We talked about Johnny Football. Now it's time to talk about the Rangers. As we all know, the suspensions came out, and as we expected, Nelson Cruz got the suspension of 50 games along with other players, including A-Rod, who has the longest suspension known to man right now at 211 games. So hopping right into it, Cruz is leading the team in home runs, RBIs, with 27 home runs and 76 RBIs. And the Rangers really didn't pick a bat to replace him. So what do you see the Rangers going from here?
I mean, I'm going to be in the minority, and I know I am. I'm going to sound stupid, but I really don't think it's going to affect him that badly.
Right.
I just haven't. And I don't watch the Rangers every day. Mm-hmm. I don't wake up every day and I get on Twitter and I say, yeah, Ranger game, let's go.
That'd honestly be hard to do.
It would.
62 games. Hard.
And, but there are people that do it.
Oh,
and there are people that follow them like a religion.
Yes.
But when I watch the Rangers, I really don't notice that much in Nelson Cruz anyway. I mean, his batting percent, his batting average is terrible.
Yeah.
And we've seen teams like the A's who don't have, they just have consistent, or they have a consistent number of hitting. Good batters, yeah. consistent hitting, that do well. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really think Nelson Cruz's 20 home runs or whatever that he's had so far, I don't think that's really going to be a factor. I think if, you know, losing one guy who's a terrible outfielder and can hit the ball a little bit, that should not affect you as badly as people think it will.
Yeah.
But I think, personally, it might affect the Rangers in a little aspect because Nelson Cruz is one of their known players. I mean,
yeah.
he's an all-star. So it's like, well, our all-star went down. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at the bats. I mean, the Rangers. You
really have to hope it doesn't affect the team psychologically. Like, yes. oh, yeah. crap. One of our better players is out. There's no way we make the playoffs now.
Well, I mean, so far we're 1-0 without him. So,
I mean, yeah.
let me just share this statistic with you guys. The Rangers are 9-26 when they don't hit a home run.
Wow. So, and he has 27 of them.
Yeah, he has 27 home runs.
So that's a vast majority of all the home runs.
But as we've seen, Soto can hit a home run.
Yeah, at any time. Brzezinski
can hit a home run.
Yeah, I mean.
Andrews is pretty much the only one that can't hit a home run on the team.
Yeah, but I mean, that could change very easily. Oh, yeah. And I don't know, who do we know who's going to fill his slot permanently?
Since you asked that, you think Manny is going to get called up?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think Manny's done.
If he was going to come up, he would have made it by now.
You always been like, oh, man.
yeah.
Oh, it's Manny being Manny.
Manny being Manny.
I honestly, for me, I think I would have enjoyed him coming up, but I don't think he is because he's been at AAA for, what, three weeks now?
Something like that. Yeah. I would have loved to see him come up, but obviously, I mean, I don't know why. I've thought the same thing. The whole, like, why not bring him up? Why not just see what he can do? But obviously, there's people watching him daily
that
understand why he shouldn't. Yeah. So I'm going to trust their judgment.
I think they brought up Angel Beltre, who's an outfielder. And they brought up someone else that I don't remember his name. But I know they brought up Angel Beltre, not related to Andre.
Well, speaking of bats.
Clarify that real fast.
yeah.
You know, the Rangers have a problem with batting, but the one thing they don't have a problem is pitching. They have plenty of that. Yu Darvish is leading the league in strikeouts. Garza has been really impressive in his past three starts.
Oh, yeah.
Holland usually gives the Rangers a chance to win his starts. He's only one game behind Darvish in the wins and loss category. The bullpen is great. You know, it's tied for second in AL with 25 wins. Tied third with 33 saves and only second in AL with 6 blown saves. Oh, yeah. So,
and that's Joe Nathan.
It's Joe Nathan.
Glad we didn't trade him.
Robbie Ross.
Yeah,
and Tanya
I would rather have Joe Nathan than have a bat.
Yeah.
And then that's what the big talk was. Well, we trade Joe Nathan for a bat. Well,
pitching
is more important than batting because
it's the defense.
You know, a good batter is only successful 3 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas a pitcher can be consistent and good every time.
Yeah.
So I'd rather take that than have somebody who's good 30% of the time, even though that's a good number for that position.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at like numbers, like we're talking bullpen, our pitching's been great.
Yeah.
You really can't ask. And I know we talk about this every time I see you, Cooper.
Yeah.
We say Derek Holland is so inconsistent. But he won.
He's like the Romo.
The other day. We went to watch the Rough Riders.
Yeah,
and that's the night Holland pitching. Matt Harrison. First of all, I don't see him coming up anytime soon.
Yeah, not till September.
We're talking about Derek Holland, and we're like, he's so inconsistent. But he pitched a shutout today.
Mm-hmm.
Like his pitching is either he gives up 11 runs one day
and then none
the next, yeah. and it kills you. But as far as consistency, Garza and Yu Darvish have been really consistent.
Lights out.
Yeah. I mean, Yu's been ridiculous.
I mean, the bat's going to come.
Do we think that Yu can win the Cy Young? I mean, is that?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, he has numbers. It's better than a lot
I
of
think
other pitchers.
If he hadn't had this year, this good of a strikeout year, the same season that Max Scherzer was like 13-0 at one point,
yeah.
I think he'd have it locked down. But I think Max Scherzer is a good candidate. I think pretty much any Detroit pitcher is a really good candidate.
Tampa Bay pitcher. Tampa Bay.
It would be really nice, though, to see a Ranger, especially
Nolan
Ryan, win an award like that.
Yeah.
That bring a lot of pressure. But other than pitching, the Rangers' upcoming series says a tough one. Let's look at the rest of the season. It's predicted that the Rangers can make the playoffs anyway. They have two games at the Angels, mm-hmm. four at Houston, which is we're not going to get on that. two against the Milwaukee Brewers or the Bromless Brewers. You have three against the Mariners, which, you know, they had a pretty good season this year.
Yeah, they've won a lot of games in a row.
Surprisingly, low-key, they've been winning a lot of games. Yeah. Then you have another three against Houston. You have three at the White Sox, another three at Seattle, three against the Twins who are struggling. And then comes the tough. You have the A's, the Angels, the surprising Pirates, mm-hmm. three more against the A's, four at the Rays, three at the Royals who have been winning, another three against Houston. Okay, they can take a break. And then another four against the Angels.
Yeah.
That's an average of .463 winning percentage, and there's 49 games left in the season. So. Yeah. Where do you see the Rangers?
You know, I think the Rangers can beat the Angels in these next two. We've won 8 out of our last 10 against the Angels.
Yeah.
Astros, we take at least 3 of those games.
If not all.
Yeah.
It will be huge beating the Angels. I mean, that's just winning series, though. But to beat the Angels and the Astros with all that we have left, especially those last 7 games against the Astros and the Angels –
I think I'm more worried about the 3 at A's, the 3 at Angels, and the 3 against Pirates.
Yes.
And then the 3 against the A's. I think that...
That stretch of 12 games
12
there,
games, yeah.
You got to say 16 because then they have Tampa Bay, 4 or 3 games, and their pitching staff is...
And against the Royals, too.
Yes.
But 19 games that I... If we get out of it, you know, winning 12 of those games, if we go 12-7, I'm impressed.
We look at it, though, if we... If we win every series from here on out, and that's asking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
a lot.
Well, we will make the playoffs. I mean, obviously.
For sure.
So just about keep winning series. Mm-hmm. They can focus on that. You're going to drop a game here and there. You're going to lose to the Angels once. You're going to lose to the A's every here and then.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you can win all these series, and we've been doing that. We've been winning series.
Yeah.
And that's what's got us back to the position we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So... And we have less games than Oakland. I know it's only 2 games, but those 2 games could be losses for them.
I feel
so.
As though if they can beat the A's and the Angels, if they can just win those series, they'll be good. Because these other teams, like the Mariners and the Pirates, those don't even count.
I mean, obviously you can make up a lot more room playing the A's.
Yeah.
So the 6 games we have left against them will be huge. Because if we won all 6, that's a 12-game swing.
Yeah.
Because they pick up a loss, we pick up a win.
Yeah.
So winning those 2 games against Oakland was huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's bigger than winning any other game that we could possibly, you know, win to advance. Because the rest of the teams really have nothing to do with us.
Yeah. The Angels aren't going to catch us. The Mariners are not going to catch us.
Oh, no.
And Houston have to win 30 stinking games in a row to even get close to winning.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
If that happens, what a story that would be. Now, let's look at Oakland's schedule because that's who we're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 against Dusty's Reds, 4 against Jose's Blue Jays. You have 3 against Houston, 3 against the Indians, which is a pretty decent team.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3 against Seattle, 3 against the slumping Orioles, who completely just fell off the scene,
mm-hmm.
4 at the Tigers, 3 against the Rays, 3 against the Rangers, 4 against the Astros, 3 at Minnesota, 3 more at the Rangers, 3 more against the Angels, and then they wrap it up with the Twins, Angels, and Seattle. Now, that's a .516 winning percentage, and they have 51 games left. So, Taylor, I know you said if we can beat the A's at least twice, but do you feel as though our schedule is more favorable than Oakland A's? You see the A's slipping?
I think our schedule's – it's definitely a better schedule than them. But still, it comes down to – we're talking 49 and 51 games here for each team. And what's the margin now? Is it 2 games back?
It's 2.5.
It's 2.5 or 1.5.
Yeah, it's 1.5.
And so we're talking like a loss to the Astros can mean a lot.
Yes.
So that, you know, that 0.5 or whatever difference in winning percentage, that's not a big deal to me. It's, I mean, any of these teams can beat anybody. So I'm not really concerned about the winning percentages. Just win series.
Yeah.
Whichever one of these teams wins the most series is going to win. Is going to win overall. Is going to make the playoffs.
And then Cologne was suspended. So I think that's going to hurt.
No, Bartolo Cologne was not suspended.
He wasn't?
No. He got away with it because MLB said he's already served 50 games for the Biogenesis.
Uh-huh.
So he wasn't suspended. Oh, so that's going to hurt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
We lose Cruz, they lose no one.
Yeah, I don't think that's really very fair. But you know, whatever. I
mean, you're not the commissioner, so.
I'm not the commissioner.
I mean, hey, but I mean, if one thing we know about sports, and especially with Texas teams, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to the last three series for both teams.
Right.
Do or die, six games.
Now, guys, do we start a playoff beard here? Is that what we're doing? You want to? You guys want to do that? Get the Rangers in?
If we got to do what we got to do to get them in, I mean, now hopefully they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If I grow all that facial hair.
Yeah, so we want to do it. We want to say right now.
I don't think I can. I've been hurt. I have been hurt too many times doing these playoff beards. Between the Mavericks trying to.
You have no faith?
I mean, I gave up on my Mavericks beard after like a week.
You should.
It wasn't even a beard. It was like some.
Because they had the mountain man.
Like 5 o'clock shadow by the time that I shaved.
Dirk didn't even look like Dirk.
No, he looked like a
Geico caveman.
He looked like some homeless guy that they picked up off the street.
And Vince Carter, oh my God. Let's not get on that.
You know, OJ Mayo trimmed his up, though. Yeah. That's probably why he's gone.
OJ can do it, but then again, you see where he's at. It's kind of funny how they got Monte and then he went to Milwaukee, so
Milwaukee made terrible moves, but we're not talking NBA today. Yes. So.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about one team that's always sure to be in everybody's mouth. How about them Cowboys? Okay, the first preseason game was, of course, Sunday, and they played the Dolphins, and Tannehill didn't do too well. Yeah. So I apologize for that, people.
It's all right.
It's just the first. I'm not tripping, but their left tackle is horrible. We're not going to get into that. Tony Romo didn't play as expected. Is this a big deal or no?
No, I mean,
I don't think so.
That's ridiculous for people to say anything about Tony Romo not playing and being a big deal. Yeah. What is this game means nothing. Now while I'm up getting updates on my phone and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're winning. Cowboys winning. Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But this means nothing when it gets into the real regular season.
Nothing at all. If he would have played, he probably would have threw the ball like what, 3-4 times.
Yeah, I mean, all the stats go away, the records go away. Preseason does not matter.
Except only time it matters is for those fighting for a playoff spot. Rookies trying to, you know, get on the depth chart. Other than that, if you already been told, hey, you're coming back, you don't have nothing to worry about. Yeah. Now the big question was the offensive line and the defensive line. The offensive line ran the ball 34 times, and they only passed 24 times. So that's either – you know, they have another situation going on with the running back situation, so I imagine them to run the ball a lot more anyway. But does this mean anything? Only one time last season did the Cowboys have more runs than passes in a game.
And I'm pretty sure they won that game, too.
I'm hopefully –
Well, this is a preseason game, so obviously – Let's see our blocking schemes better than let's see how well our backup quarterback can throw it to our backup receivers. We can actually see our line, and usually you're going to end up having linemen switch in and out. So these second team guys will play. You know, the backup quarterback is not going to play for the Cowboys. It's just not going to happen. Backup left guard will. So let's see how he does in his blocking assignments, especially running plays, which is somewhere we need to get better at anyway.
Yeah.
I agree.
Travis Frederick, my bad, if you're listening, he impressed most Cowboys bloggers with his strength and speed and has talked about stealing the starting job from Costa.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think if Frederick's even a remote success, I'm just like, okay, Jerry, you know what, I'm not too mad at you about this draft. I still think he was drafted way too high.
I mean, Travis Frederick should be playing, though. This is a guy who's in the first round. We should play. You should have a rookie playing every year in football. I mean, there's 22 positions, more than that when you count special teams.
True.
A guy like Travis Frederick, who coming from Wisconsin, I know he's had things talked about him that aren't so good, such as like he's not very quick. His quarterback in college had a lot of sacks on him.
Yeah.
But the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, last time I checked, had a lot of sacks on him every year he's been playing.
Yep.
So it's not like Travis Frederick can't be better than that.
Yeah, and I mean, think about who he was, who his quarterback was. It was Russell Wilson, who's running outside of the pocket all the time anyway.
Yeah, so that's totally different than what, and Romo's kind of a scrambler, but he'd prefer to stay in the pocket when he gets the chance.
Yeah,
but I think it's a good pick because people forget he had Monte Ball as his running back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he had to be somewhat good to make lanes for Monte Ball because Monte Ball was scoring like 3 touchdowns every Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's a good player. And, I mean, in the game I did saw, I didn't see nobody get past him. Now, the other people online, Well, like, that's a different story because I saw DeAndre Jordan kind of split the seams a couple times, but they quickly erased it. How do you feel about the three tight end instead of the fullback? They took the fullback out.
Yeah, I mean, it worked really well. They got a first down almost every time. But yeah.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Getting first downs every time.
That's what matters in football. You want first downs and touchdowns. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't want to catch yourself in the second and eight, the third and eight, because then you know the defense know, okay, they have to pass because they can't run.
Yeah.
And that's where the Cowboys struggled at. They couldn't get enough running game to give Romo a third and four, third and three, rather than third and nine, third and 12, and he had to throw it. So, all right, well, how about the first team defense? Did y'all check them out?
You know, I didn't see too much of the game. As Taylor said, we were at a Rough Riders game, so couldn't see too much of it. But from what I saw, you know, they did a good job until the first team did a good job.
The first team did
the
really
second
good.
And third team now.
I don't think the first team gave up any points.
Yeah.
None.
Allowing 17 points, though, the third and fourth teams. That was a little.
Yeah,
but, I mean, we're talking preseason. This is first team defense going against a bunch of second team offensive guys. And
it's pretty much
practice. It's really hard to say anybody can get on a roll offensively because they're switching in. It's a scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of us played high school football or no high school football, and in scrimmages, they're playing everybody to see what everybody can do.
Yeah.
And that's football. Every type of game that doesn't matter in football, that's how it is. Scrimmages are like that. NFL preseason games are like that. So, I mean, I'm not going to weigh a bunch into this part of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Now, first game of the year, we could talk that all day long because will be something that really matters.
Giants. It's against the Giants. So it's a very important first game. Anybody against the division is always important.
Yeah, and we'll, no matter what happens, we're going to be like seriously either up or down. Like if the Cowboys lose, even if they lose by 1 point, we're going to be like,
oh, we'll be ripping them, and everyone will be ripping them,
yeah.
And then they'll win, or they win by 1 point. Oh, they're the greatest! This is the greatest Cowboys team ever. We're gonna win the Super Bowl. And I'll admit that right now. That's how I'll be. So, I'm honest.
So, do you predict the Cowboys to win the season opener?
You know, I don't know. I think it's gonna be an interesting game.
It's
always a
soap opera when they play the Giants.
Yeah,
so I think when we talked. When the schedule was first released, we said they could win, their first four games realistically? So I think they'll win the season opener.
Now, this is at Cowboys Stadium, right? The season opener is at
Cowboys Stadium. Yeah, I think that's why we said.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have the best record against the Giants in Cowboys Stadium.
But they don't have a good home record either. You think they have a better home record this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever happens, We're definitely going to have a lot of strong feelings when we get there.
It said a Tampa 2 defense, Tony Dungy was talking about it, said it really caused turnovers, and the Cowboys was last in turnovers last year. So
I think it could be good for them.
Well, speaking of preseason games, a lot of people are complaining that there's too many preseason games.
Players do all the time.
Both the Cowboys and the Dolphins have five this year. And in college football, they don't have preseason. They just call them non-conference games. So would you rather see that in NFL than having like a little teaser with preseason games?
Well, the people that don't like them are the people who are being interviewed. So who are people going to interview? They're going to interview Tony Romo. They're going to interview the people that aren't playing, like DeMarcus Ware, people that only play like half a quarter, if that. And they're not going to interview the lower-level guys who get a chance to prove themselves.
Right.
Those are the guys who take advantage of it and who enjoy preseason games because they're actually getting a chance to play.
Yeah.
And I think even the coaches enjoy it because it gives them it's their practice, too. This isn't just for players. But, you know, the big-name guys, of course they're not going to like it. Of course Tony Romo doesn't want to get on a plane and fly up and stay in a hotel room in Canton, Ohio, risk injury and risk his career. But the guys who are lower-level guys who might this may be their only chance to prove what they can do. They enjoy it, and I think the coaches enjoy that opportunity to see what they can do also.
Especially the first-year coaches. There's a whole lot of first-year coaches.
Oh, yeah.
The preseason game is like, hey, welcome to the NFL because you got other coaches throwing stuff right at you out the gate. Like, okay, this is a rookie coach with a rookie quarterback and a rookie so-and-so. Let's go right at him.
Let's figure out what he can do.
Yeah, they test you. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but five games, I feel like five games could be pushing it. Four is the max for me.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I'd be okay with just three. I think three is enough.
Yeah, you know, three is well over there.
In that last preseason game, you don't see pretty much anybody on the first team at all.
You see people that's barely making the
team. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think probably three is right, and maybe to have a little bit of a longer break between that last preseason game and anticipation of, you know, the opening week of the regular season.
Yeah.
Well, let's move from professional to, well, pre-professional college football. And USA Today preseason poll, they show Texas some love. They have three Texas teams in the top 25 with A&M, Johnny Football at 6. You have Longhorns back in the mix at 15. Mm-hmm. They also have TCU at 20. So do you think any other Texas team should be in the top 25?
I don't know how in the world Texas is 15.
I don't know.
Because
it really seems like
every year they're going to get – they get a great – you know, spot. I don't know if it's because of their recruiting class.
It's just the name.
It's the name of Texas, but
it's like Notre Dame used to be. Notre Dame used to get in the top 10, top 20, and they were terrible, especially with old what's his name, Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, but A&M 6th.
Yeah.
They're only separated by 9 slots. That's ridiculous.
Well, A&M beat Alabama in Alabama, so that's probably why they got a little bit more love.
I mean, I agree with A&M at 6.
I'm saying that Texas is too high.
Texas is too high.
Oklahoma.
If anything, A&M should be higher, and Texas shouldn't be on here at all.
No, I don't think they should be in here at all. If you're going to put TCU at 20 and put them at Texas.
I mean, I don't even think Texas will win the Big 12.
Yeah. I don't see TCU doing that well either. I think maybe Baylor has a better shot.
Baylor, I think they're like 24.
No,
What are they now? Are there 16 teams in the SEC now?
Something close.
I think every team in the SEC could probably beat Texas.
It'd be definitely a good shot.
They play Ole Miss second game.
They play Ole Miss
season.
Second game.
I mean, I realistically think that, and we're not even considering any other teams. We're not considering the best team in the ACC, the best team in the Pac-10. We're not considering the best team in the Big 10 still?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not even considering that. I'm considering just SEC schools. I think Texas would be towards the bottom. So for them to be at 15,
that's a lot.
I really think that's ridiculous.
They're ahead of schools like Oklahoma. And
Oklahoma State.
Always beat Texas. Well, in the recent years, the Red River, it hasn't been a rivalry.
Because
Oklahoma has thrashed Texas.
Yeah.
To the point where I'd be like, okay, I'm not watching.
Except for the Vince Young years, most of them, and 2 out of 4.
With the Colt.
Yeah, with Colt.
But I mean, I would love to see A&M still playing Texas because I really think A&M would destroy
Texas right now.
Yes,
now. I would love to see that game too because it's a great.
It was a great game. I used to not watch hardly any A&M or Texas games, but I'd watch that game.
Yeah, and I am a former T-shirt Texas fan. I'm
former.
Yeah, I'm reformed. I'm no longer a
T-shirt
Texas
fan.
But
you had the T-shirt, so I mean, why not be a fan?
Yeah, but the main reason I was a Texas fan was because my whole family on my dad's side is A&M fans, and so I loved especially the years between like 2000 and 2009. Yeah. They lost almost every game. I loved it. Yeah. I love making fun of them.
That year, oh my God.
Yeah. Ooh, A&M.
For Tannehill. That was a Tannehill year.
And now it's completely different.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. A&M has been playing in the SEC, so they probably play
A&M,
teams way
that
better
switched
than
to the SEC. That was probably one of the greatest business moves
ever.
In college sports ever.
And when they did it, we were all like, psh, they're going to get destroyed. They're not going to beat anybody. And
they beat Florida. I was like, okay.
They almost compete for a national championship.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I still think we have to go 5-10 years to say if it's really the best decision because they could, you know, after Johnny Manziel leaves, who knows?
I mean, they lucked out with Johnny Manziel too, so that was it was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
They could honestly lose him, lose a few linemen, and be back Vanderbilt.
Don't give him Vanderbilt.
Let's wait 5-10 years, come back and say whether or not this is a good decision.
Well, before we wrap up the show, we're here. College football season is about to tip off very, very soon. So, national
about
championship.
About to tip off.
Yeah, I use basketball.
He's a basketball.
About to tip off.
About to kick off.
Kickoff on me. Well, who you got winning national championship? Of course, they have Alabama at number one. Do you think Ohio State can beat the Tide?
You know, I think they can. I think Ohio State can come in and win and beat Alabama, but I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm saying Oklahoma State is beating Ohio State in the national championship. I don't think Alabama's even going to make the game.
That's worse than my Tannehill.
There will be an SEC school in that game, I'll bet anything on it.
It's been, what?
7 straight years.
Well, they've won 7 straight. I think it's been like even more than that since they've not been in the game.
I don't see any other conference, any other team right now, even Oregon that's up there, I don't think that, you know, with Chip Kelly leaving, Oregon's not going to be the same.
No.
And I just don't see nobody else competing with either Alabama or Ohio State. I mean, did nobody beat Ohio State last year?
Yeah.
Urban Meyer is a good coach.
But I think, me going out on a limb here, I really do think.
Why? Do you think Oklahoma State?
Because I think Oklahoma State can win the Big 12, and I don't think Alabama's going to win the SEC this year. I think LSU's good, A&M's good if they keep Manziel. I think A&M loses a game or two, LSU loses a game or two, Alabama loses a game or two because they're playing in the SEC.
You see Oklahoma State and Ohio State going undefeated.
Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, who's going to beat Oklahoma State this year? Who?
There's nobody that good in the Big 12.
Who's going to beat Ohio State?
But crazier things have happened. That's why I think, I mean, if either of those teams lose one game, they're out.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And they'll put two loss SEC teams above in it over one loss.
Real quick.
Over a bunch of one loss other teams.
You still got Florida and Georgia.
Yeah.
That if Alabama LSU lose, it's okay. What did Florida
and
Georgia
it's
do?
It's a ridiculously tough schedule in the SEC. So I don't. I think their strength of schedule is so high that whoever wins it has to be in the national championship game.
So do you think it's fair that most of the time, you know, for the past 7 years...
I'm gonna say right now, you asked who will win the national championship.
Yes.
It will be an SEC school, and I think it will be, if Johnny Manziel is healthy, it will be Texas A&M.
So the Aggies?
Okay.
Yes.
See,
who do you have them beating then?
Yes.
Who do I have them beating?
You think it's going to be two SEC teams again in that?
I would be so mad. I do not want to see that again. Yeah.
I mean, especially the LSU.
Like Alabama, you said, I think someone will go undefeated.
Yeah.
So I think that probably Ohio State. I think it will probably be Ohio State, A&M, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I will put this
Okay,
out
State
there.
Will drop a game because they always do.
Yeah, they always drop a game they shouldn't, but I think they could put it together.
The history of the Big 12 is that way.
But,
everybody drops a game.
But even if Oklahoma State doesn't make it, I'm going to say 90% guaranteed that Ohio State makes the national championship.
Oh, yeah, because I don't see nobody. The closest team that even gave them trouble was Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nebraska's going to be crap this year.
Yeah, they should have stayed in the Big 12, honestly. I don't see why they moved.
So should Colorado. Colorado should have stayed in the Big 12.
I feel so bad for Colorado. When the last time they was good?
When they won the national.
Cordell Stewart. When Cordell Stewart was with them.
Yeah.
That was in the 90s. Well, the last question of the day, what will the Aggies do if Manziel is suspended?
That's a tough
question. It'll be Matt Jokel as the starting quarterback. And good luck. I still think they'll be good.
They'll compete.
I mean, they'll still compete.
Oh, yeah.
Well, am I going to say... continue on my bet of them winning the national championship? No, because Johnny Manziel is the reason they beat Alabama last year.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that they're going to be trash, that's not true either.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
true. They're not going to be trash.
I mean, they'll be fine, but they just won't be as good as they were.
Yeah, I agree.
If Johnny Manziel is suspended, I see A&M losing a whole lot of money.
But I don't think he'll be. The thing is, I think it will take so long for the NCAA to find anything out.
It's going
to
be the same as the Cam Newton thing.
Yeah, this will take years. Yeah,
and they got the same attorney that Cam Newton had. So
it's not like this is tomorrow they're going to come out and say, Johnny Manziel suspended, because it's not going to happen. It will be.
If it doesn't happen before the season starts, it's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Period.
No. Well.
To be honest, it's too big of a hit for the NCAA if he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're not thinking. They're probably thinking about that. Like,
take your time. You know, if you want to. Find out in a few years if it happened.
Yeah. Find out when he goes to the NFL, like they did with Reggie Bush.
Yeah, pretty much everybody.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. If I was Reggie, I'd have been like, really? You waited until I won a Super Bowl and I'm going to tell him? All right, here you go. Here you go. Well, that does our show today. I hope you enjoyed it. We talked about Riley Cooper. We talked about the Rangers. And we talked about Johnny Football over and over again.
And I'm sure more to talk about next time.
Oh, for sure.
God. I guarantee you by Friday's episode, we'll have an update on Johnny Football and his escapades. But I'm out. This is KETR Locker Room. I'm Jordan Davis.
I'm Cooper Welch.
And I'm Taylor Phelps.
All right. And we'll see y'all Friday.